News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, listen, I got to tell you about my friends at Otter Creek Farm. Listen, folks, I'm not kidding when I say that Charlene and I go out there. My friends Frank and Jane own and run the place, but it's so cool to know somebody who's got something that is known internationally. That's kind of the neat gig here. So we go out there all the time because of its amazing facilities. And yes, they are considered one of the premier wing shooting destinations in the United States. And so you like hunting pheasant and quail? Hundreds of manicured acres, beautiful facilities. They've got chefs that will lay on a meal for you after you're done. The guides, the guns, the dogs, they've got them all there. They've been featured in Garden and Gun magazine. Donald Trump Jr. came and stayed there himself for a hunt. And it's right here in North Alabama, believe it or not. What an oasis in North Alabama. But it's become such a cool facility that people are becoming aware of it, that it's now a wedding destination. They're getting booked up for 2022 already. Wedding destination, corporate retreats, just a getaway day for you and your family. I'm just saying, check them out. Their website is OtterCreekFarmstead.com. OtterCreekFarmstead.com. All right, so I'm back on the Triple Dipper. Travesty on the troops. You heard the discussion I just had with Casey Wardinsky. He provided his great, you know, color commentary there on the thing, having served in the ranks of troops, having been through the U.S. Military Academy, and also having served at the Pentagon. He himself says he has never seen systemic racism or right-wing extremism in the ranks of the U.S. military as is being portrayed by the Biden administration. Interesting to hear him say, too. When they were in the transition, he knew he was leaving. He left in January as the Biden administration came in February. He had been appointed by Trump. It's natural those kind of things happen. Elections have those kind of consequences. That being said, he was in the transition to calls, and there was never a discussion, he said, about warfighting capability or readiness or recruiting. I think I threw recruiting in there myself. But nonetheless, the things you would expect him to ask about were not being asked about. It was all, in his words, demographic in nature. You know, how many people of color, how many females, what are we, and this, that's what we're dealing with. So Biden signed, according to the Washington Examiner right here, looking at the story dated 2 days ago, Biden signed the National Defense Authorization Act this week. The NDAA, as we call it, it was Senate Bill 1605. It funded all Department of Defense programs, military construction, etc. And within that, though, there had been some really awful stuff included down in the House. Luckily, some of it got stripped out in the Senate. But one of the things that was stripped out was the idea that they were going to form an entire office of countering extremism inside the Pentagon. They were going to literally have to direct the Department of Defense to have an anti-extremism office. Well, that got stripped out, thankfully. What did get left in, though, I guess as a compromise measure, was the bill directs the Pentagon right now to submit a report outlining the establishment of a separate punitive article in the Uniform Code of Military Justice on violent extremism. The report is due 180 days from the day the bill is enacted. So literally within the next 6 months, there has to be a referral as to whether or not there is a need to build a new level of criminal penalization in the UCMJ, the Uniform Code of Military Justice, that deals with extremism. Well, I got news. If you assault somebody, it's still an assault regardless of the basis for it. Okay, anyway, let me tell you about this article I've got right here. Well, let me do this. I'm going to hold that one until after the break. Let me do this one, though. I'll tell you this. This came out of a periodical called Fed Week. It's dated December 17th. So it's just a couple weeks ago, if that, about 12 days ago. Rand Corporation. Rand Corporation, using military funds, has suggested after its exhaustive studies that the U.S. military consider putting in place a, quote, terrorism prevention framework to address current forms of extremism within its ranks. Did you hear that? The Rand Corporation study is suggesting the U.S. military consider putting in place a terrorism prevention framework to address current forms of extremism within its ranks. Designed to find ways of having interventions aimed at influencing those who have become radicalized and are considering violence. A terrorism prevention framework for our own people who are in our own military. It says a California-based think tank, which is partially funded by the U.S. government, offered a series of recommendations in light of the news that some 12% of those arrested and charged with participation in the January 6th Capitol riots were current or former members of the U.S. military. Okay, first of all, let's clarify. If you are a former member of the U.S. military, you're called a civilian. That's what you are. There is nothing about being a former member of the U.S. military that anyone should be considering in how we treat our current military, except for whether or not we provide them adequate medical care and benefits after their service. Period. You have no say about what someone is doing in their civilian life in any capacity. I mean, how dare you, RAND Corporation? RAND Corporation, based out of California, cannot help but think that they're a liberal institution. And they're saying right now that in light of the fact that there were current and former members of the U.S. military at the January 6th insurrection, that somehow or another that qualifies having to have a new terrorism prevention framework to address current forms of extremism within the ranks of our current U.S. military. No. How about just freaking no? Well, I got more on this. And this one fires me up, by the way. I'm getting a little angry. I'll try to take a break. We'll be right back after this. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right, by the way. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. Hey, by the way, I got to tell you, I know Christmas is over. You've already done the shopping. It's over with. You're like relieved. And then you realized, oh no, I've still got a gathering coming up and I don't have a thing for that person who got me a thing. And so what do? Let me just suggest to you, you still got an option there. Alabama Pecan Company, they're not through with gifts. They still do what they do and they do it so well. Check out their website, Alabama Pecan Co. That's C-O, alabamapecanco.com. They've got ready-made gift baskets. They've got custom gift baskets you can put together. Send those snacks and things to someone you love, to a client, and wish them the new year. And I'm just saying, it's a great option. Alabama Pecan Company at alabamapecanco.com. PeconCo.com. I got a caller online too. Let me jump on there and get one of our guys from Tennessee, Steve from Tennessee, calling in about the RAND Corporation, I think. Steve, Phil Williams, how you doing?
Yes, sir. I'm doing well. And I just wanted to say, I know you've worked in the Pentagon. I've worked in the Pentagon. And to say the RAND Corporation is California-based, that's kind of funny because they have very close offices to the Pentagon. I've walked over there many times.
True.
And if anybody listens to studies like this, especially in the first year of an administration, and hears, results like this and gets too concerned about what these people have concluded, they know where the money's coming from and they know who controls the money and they want to keep that money flowing. So when you give them some direction to go study something, they are already fishing everybody that they can to figure out what the answer needs to be, and they can make the data fit the answer they want. And so, when I heard RAND Corporation, I just shook my head because I was there the first couple of years of the Obama administration, and I saw this go down big time because all this stuff that's happening now really started back then, and it's just gotten worse and worse. So here we are. But that's all I had to say, is take it with a grain of salt because I know who they are and I know what they are. They're a bunch of beltway bandits.
Perfect. Steve, thanks for that, man. Thanks for being a Right Side Ruffian, and thanks also for your service. You have a happy new year.
All right, bye.
All right, take care. He's right, and he is right, and they can fit the data the way they want to. And but listen, I'm looking at a report right here off of military.com. You would love to believe that with a name like military.com or Army Times that you're going to find reporting that puts a positive light on the military. Not always. No. I'm looking at an article right now dated today. Military.com. Decades of DOD efforts fail to stamp out bias and extremism. Here we go. So in this particular article, and I've got so much of it highlighted, there's hardly anything unhighlighted. I've got scratch outs, I've got articles, I've got questions. And so in this particular article right here, I mean, they literally talk about things like, in February, with the images of the violent insurrection in Washington still fresh in the minds of Americans. Okay, there's a mental image they're already painting. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin took the unprecedented step of signing a memo directing commanding officers across the military to institute a one-day stand down to address extremism within the nation's armed forces. Okay. The stand down came in response, it says, to the participation and subsequent arrest of several veterans. Oh, several. Are you aware that we have over a million members of our U.S. Armed Forces? Over a million. There were several veterans that were there. At least one active duty service member, it says. God almighty. I mean, are you seeing what I'm saying? Austin's order, it says, also came as America as a whole was grappling with how to address systemic racism. No, I've covered that before. I reject the notion this is a systemically racist nation, period. But they go on to say, an AP investigation, well, there's your first problem. You went to an AP investigation. An AP investigation found that despite the new rules that were being promulgated, racism and extremism remain an ongoing concern in the military. Concern of who? I defy you to find me an overwhelming number of people in uniform today of any service who are deeply concerned about deep levels of extremism in their ranks. I defy you to find a commander who will tell you that he or she is concerned because there appears to be large numbers of extremists in the ranks of his or her unit. I defy you to find a squad leader who can't get his unit to be effective, his small tactics squad to be effective in the field because of extremism. I defy you to find a barracks where it is so jacked up with extremism that they can't live among each other. It's not there, folks. I spent 30 years in military service. I'm the son of a retired colonel, the grandson of a retired colonel. My own son is on active duty right now. I'm just telling you, it is not as being portrayed. But then I go on to this article. Experts interviewed by the AP says there's also ongoing concern over the military commander's ability. Wait, first of all, what experts? It never says what experts. And then it goes on further in the article. The only expert they cite is Susan Cork, the director of the Southern Poverty Law Center. Tells me all I need to see. Throwing that article on the ground, I'm done with that one. I pick up the next article, though. I'm looking at this and I'm saying, CBS News. Wednesday, December 15th, just roughly, 2 weeks ago. Headline, over 80 of those charged in the January 6th investigation have ties to the military. What a misleading title. They have ties to the military? What even does that mean? They have ties to the military. Well, I've got ties to McDonald's because I ate there yesterday. I mean, what does that mean? I've got ties to coffee because I drank some for breakfast. They have ties to the military. Over 80 of those charged in the January 6th investigation, according to CBS News, have ties to the military. It goes on to say more than 80. Okay. By the way, if you read a paragraph down, more than 80 in the opening line becomes 81. Just so you know, 81 is the minimum amount necessary to required to be able to be said as more than 80. So they've hit the mark. They're accurate in that it was more than 80 because it was indeed 81. More than 80 of the defendants charged in relation to the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol have ties to the U.S. military. Most of those with a military background were veterans. God almighty. All right, when you read through the article, you find out that 700 individuals have been charged with something related to the breach on the U.S. Capitol, of which five were currently in the military when they participated in the attack. One was an active duty Marine, and four were part-time either Army Reserve or National Guard. That, my friends, is not systemic. That, my friends, is not even a rounding error. That, my friends, is not even a blip on the radar. That, my friends, is a lie of the media. CBS News ought to be ashamed of themselves. They go on to talk about who these individuals are. They got a whole paragraph on the active duty Marine. I mean, literally, they've got a whole section of each one. The active duty Marine. Marine Major Chris Warnegris, or Warnegiris, anyway. He's the active duty guy. Then they have the Army Specialist who enlisted after the attack. Okay, he enlisted after the attack. Now, he'd been prior service, so I got to give him a little bit on that. Then there's the Marine Veteran accused of assaulting police with a Marine Corps flag. So, listen, I go back to what I said earlier. If you are out of service, your category in life is called civilian. You are no longer a member of the military. Once you have retired or ended your enlistment or your term of service, you're done. When I hit my MRD, my mandatory retirement date at 30 years, and I retired as an 06, I became a civilian. They have no say over what I say or do. None. And the very idea, had I been there, which I was not, but had I been there, they would be categorizing me as having been affiliated with the military. Therefore, there must be extremism. That's where it's a travesty on the troops. Next article I've got. Okay, here's military.com again. They're trying to play up the five members because 10 months later, the military is finally starting to take action, it says in this article about what happened to the members of the military accused of storming the Capitol on January 6th. Five. There were five. And they do confirm that. There were five. And they were a very diverse group. Army and National Guard and Marine Corps. Yeah. I got news. They don't even know what they're talking about because they described the National Guard as being a separate service branch. So this is obviously, when you read it, you look at it and go, you know, you ought to at least get somebody who understands the military to write your freaking articles. All right, folks, listen, we're gonna go ahead, Copper, just go ahead and move us to a break. Travesty on the troops. We'll wind that thing up when we get done with this break. When I come back from that, though, we're going top of the hour, and then Copper's Corner, one of my favorite segments of every single week. Copper's good at what she does on the board, but she's got her own opinions, and she's good at sharing them. Copper's Corner coming up, top of the hour. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, we like to say just plain right. Hey, so by the way, before I go too much further, I got to tell you, ZLA Solutions is kicking it right now. ZLA Solutions, they are like some of the best in the world right now, in my opinion, of getting people back to work. So if you're looking for a job, go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. They've got great jobs posted all over the state. So ZLAUSA.com to find a job. But if you're an employer looking to fill out the ranks of your own workforce, yeah, ZLAUSA.com. Let them get you set up. They'll do all the background checks, the drug testing, the everything you need to get your workforce built up. ZLA Solutions. They like to say at ZLA Solutions, we don't make it, we just make it better. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. I know these folks personally, and they are good at what they do. All right, so finishing up this segment here on the Triple Dipper, the travesty on the troops. A travesty on the troops is extended into new policies that are coming out. Now, let me tell you about some things that have already been happening. You know, with all the hoopla last year, I say hoopla, I don't mean that in a minimizing sense, because there's a lot of hoopla, by the way. Hoopla ain't good. When things are burning down and riots are happening, hoopla ain't good. But the hoopla last year, the rioting, the burning, the racial tension that we saw throughout the nation, there was a whole lot of attempts by people in all positions, civilian and military, to try and prove that they were not at all supportive of anything that could be seen as racist, to the extent that they went overboard in some places. Not the least of which is things like the Gadsden flag. If you're familiar with the Don't Tread on Me, the yellow flag with the coiled snake, and it says Don't Tread on Me, that's called the Gadsden flag because Colonel Gadsden, I believe it was Colonel, was a officer in the Continental Army, and he developed this flag. It says Don't Tread on Me, and it started off literally, it was designed by Christopher Gadsden, like I said, in 1775. And it was once understood, you know, to represent limited government and that kind of thing. And then, you know, it became a symbol of the Tea Party movement. So what? I was endorsed by the Tea Party when I ran in 2010 and proud of it. And then they say it's become a symbol of white supremacist groups, although I've never seen the KKK marching down the street with their hoods on carrying a Gadsden flag. And then most recently they're saying because it appeared at the January 6th insurrection, that it's considered to be verboten now. Well, the Gadsden flag, it is said, cannot be seen on military installations. So if you have a Gadsden flag at your house and you live on, I don't know, Redstone Arsenal, or you live on Fort Rucker or someplace like that, you're not supposed to have the Gadsden flag. However, what's amazing is that there are a number of states, I know for a fact Virginia does, that have license plates in the form of the Gadsden flag. Virginia has a yellow license plate that has the coiled snake and the "Don't Tread on Me." So what happens if you're, you know, driving to work at the Pentagon and you live in Virginia and you chose to get the Gadsden flag tag for your car? See how stupid this gets? All right. Then on top of that, the new policy here, I'm looking at a story, Washington Examiner. Washington Examiner December 27th, 2 days ago. Washington Examiner is saying that the new policies, the Pentagon's anti-extremism push targets way more than just social media. So last week I told you, it feels like a million years ago. Maybe it was this week. But anyway, the bottom line is I told you at one point that they were caring now about what you like on your social media. They weren't just caring about what you posted, whether you had any videos on TikTok that called for, you know, racist action or violence in some way, or you were an extremist that could really have proven to be an extremist. No, they were looking at what you hit like on, because like is bad. And I guarantee you it's gonna branch out from there into not just what you liked, but did you like something by someone they don't like? So in other words, the post itself could have been, you know, puppies and unicorns, but because that person had a racist tweet a year prior and you hit like on one of their stuff, you're now deemed to be liking the wrong things. Well, they go further. Defense Department guidance released just last week, according to the Washington Examiner, offers new definitions of what constitutes, quote, active participation by military personnel in hate groups or extremist organizations. The most noteworthy updates are the ones on social media, with troops, like I said, now potentially facing consequences, actual consequences, if they share, like, or otherwise amplify hateful messages on social media. But that's just one thing. Then it goes on to say, knowingly displaying paraphernalia, words, or symbols in support of extremist activities or in support of groups or organizations that support extremist activities, such as flags, clothing, tattoos, bumper stickers, whether on or off of a military installation, is a violation of the policy. In other words, if you have a tattoo of, say, a Confederate flag, or if you have the Gadsden flag bumper sticker on your car, or if you have a t-shirt that in some way is deemed to be extremist, and you're wearing it in your off-duty time while you're on vacation at your parents' house for Christmas, they have a right to say something about it. Now, I get it. I served. Many of you have. A lot of you in this audience still are. And we know that we give up some of our day-to-day. We give up some of our freedoms in a sense, and I say that in the ability to move about and do what we want, in order to be a part of the greatest military on the face of this earth. And by the way, when I say these things right now, I'm not reflecting on the military, but our leadership right now is a bunch of goobs, a bunch of knuckleheads who are so wrapped up in trying to be woke and politically correct that they're losing sight of what's important. They're losing sight of the fact that young men and women enter into the military service for the pride and the esprit de corps that comes from putting on a uniform and serving their nation, to fight the country's wars and to defend at all costs those who would try to bring detriment to our country, our way of life, to our Constitution, to the liberties and the values that we espouse, believe in, and live in. And right now, we have got what I am calling a travesty on the troops, as there is misrepresentation after misrepresentation being thrust out there in the public sector, saying that in some way, the young men and women are extremists, and that they support extremism in and around themselves, and that there is systemic racism in our military, and there is not. Are there bad people here, there, and the other wire? Yes. And if you have a million people in one grouping, there's going to be bad apples somewhere in there. But I want to point out that when you say things like veterans participated in the January 6th so-called insurrection, well, once you're a veteran off of active duty, you're called a civilian and they have no say over you. But the ones they do have a say on were five. Five out of a million. Let's don't forget that. All right, folks, we're going to take a break right now. I'm going to go to the news, hear what kind of liberal news they want to espouse, because you and I both agree that the news they run on this show doesn't always match the show. But nonetheless, we're going to hear it. Coming back from that, we got Copper's Corner, one of my favorite segments of the week. Right Side Radio. We will be right back.